Hey, welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your entrepreneurial peers on the journey of self-leadership mastery and life success. Reinvent or evolve yourself as you redesign your business. Dual innovation. Take charge of who you next become. Feel more deeply to think, act, lead, and mentor more clearly and more effectively. Learn something new from our conversation today.
Nancy, thank you very much for the experience. The questions you asked really helped guide me, you know, following a certain path to understand deeper about what I do and then even kind of understand some of the things I even never thought of before, the question you asked. So that was such a good experience.
If it's Monday, I'm mentoring. Hey, welcome to the podcast. Today in the studio, we have Dominique Jones, formerly known as Dominique Scott. She's the program manager at the Metropolitan Economic Development Association called MEDA. Prior to coming to MEDA, she was a business owner of Drop-In Shop, the child entertainment center located in the Mall of America. Dominique also worked as a business process analyst and project manager for United Health Group. Dominique holds a master's in business administration in management information systems, finance and project management from Metropolitan State University in Minneapolis, and a Bachelor of Arts degree in legal studies, international management, and social justice program from Hamline University, which is a law concentration. Dominique also owns EPE LLC, which stands for Entertainment Promotion Enterprise. It's a talent agency that she founded in 2009. Dominique currently oversees the MEDA Mini MBA program, which is where her and I met. The program itself offers business fundamentals and growth strategies to ethnic minority entrepreneurs. And that's exactly where we met, at a small business administration special program for entrepreneurs. Welcome to the program, Dominique.
Thank you. It is an honor.
Great. All right. Well, I've got like a ton of questions, and already I'm just learning more about you, which is always fun for me and fun for the listeners too.
Great.
Yeah. So how are you feeling right now?
Well, looking at the self-awareness mentoring journal, today, currently, I feel empathetic. Respectful and grounded. I also feel invested, emotionally cleansing, action-oriented. Some of my inner hurt emotions, I would say, weighted down, misunderstood at times today. And then overextended.
I appreciate you just talking about it so openly. I just appreciate it. I hate when you feel misunderstood.
Yes.
Yeah. And not many people mention or circle emotionally cleansing when we're in the conversation anyways.
Oh, right.
So how would you interpret that?
So my interpretation, well, it's probably because I'm becoming a lot more self-aware emotionally after taking an emotional intelligence training a week ago. I feel like I'm really aware of my emotions, and that, you know, through that training, it was one of the best trainings I've been to. And I guess that's why I say like the emotionally cleansing, because it really helped me to deal with my emotions, understand my emotions. And so I feel a lot more confident around being able to manage my emotions. So,
oh, that's terrific. Yeah, it's so empowering.
It is very empowering.
I wish we had this kind of training when we were like little.
I know. And it's, you know, it's very new. Actually, it came, this training, the ideology around it was introduced in 85, which was the year I was born. So,
Wow, 1985, special year.
Yes.
You'll always remember that test.
I always will, yes.
Well, you've got like a ton of accomplishments under your belt, and you are invested in so many different things, and it's amazing how well you do them all.
Thank you.
So, yeah, I'm curious to know, what was it like growing up in your family?
Yeah, so my childhood, what I can remember is very stable. I grew up in a home with my stepfather and my mother, and my stepfather ranked very high in the military. And so he brought a lot of stability and structure to the home, which I can definitely appreciate now, probably not as much back then when I was younger.
Right.
But now with my own children, you know, being able to create that structure within a home environment is very challenging. And so he did such a wonderful job with that.
Where were you living at the time?
So I grew up in North Minneapolis. Actually, my house that I grew up in is right across the street from where we are currently sitting. So if we looked outside the window, you will see my home.
Okay. And so the MEDA office is at the crossroads of Penn Avenue and Plymouth.
Yes. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, on the corner. So
it's nice to be back in the neighborhood. I haven't been back around this area in a very long time. I moved when I went away to college. And even though I just went right across the river to St. Paul, it was totally different for me. But I haven't really been back in the neighborhood until MEDA opened its new headquarters over here. So
okay.
Feels like a full circle type of.
yeah. Wow. So how would you describe what you learned from your mother or some favorite words?
Yeah, so my mom was very nurturing. She also just believed in stability and structure. So for instance, I went to the same school for 9 years, which when I think about my children, they've switched, my one son switched Spanish immersion schools 3 times within 1 year.
Oh my gosh. And you have how many kids?
I have, I have 4. I have 2 stepchildren and 2 biological children. And we've kind of, my kids, they don't know too much stability. They're actors, and so they travel a lot. My oldest son is only 12 and at one point lived in California with my brother and has traveled there multiple times. He just got back Saturday. So my kids, the structure of my home was a little different than how I grew up. Yeah. But yes, I attended the same school, lived in the same neighborhood my whole childhood, you know, and so I can, again, appreciate that. Having that stability, I think, really helped me to stay grounded and level-headed.
Yeah.
And to, you know, be consistent and all of that good stuff. So I got that from my mom, the nurturer. My mom was very savvy as well. Even though she didn't graduate from college, she was just very intelligent, very inquisitive. Mm. And yeah, I definitely looked up to her as a child as far as her kind of business savviness. My parents were entrepreneurs, but then they also worked my stepfather, actually, the military guy, he retired after 20 years from Northwest Airlines, if anyone remembers when Delta used to be, Northwest. And my mom, she worked in government. She was a community activist. She worked in the school district. And so very heavily involved in the community as she still is today. She's a minister, and she owns her own company called Love Communicates. And so,
That's so fitting. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And what does Love Communicates do?
So my mom really talks about relationship aspects, all different types of relationships, and just being able to communicate in your different relationships that you have with people. So, yeah.
Well, it explains why you're such a great communicator.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
What were some of the early lessons that you learned about leadership?
So early on, I learned how to really be able to empathize and relate with all different types of walks of life. I have an appreciation for just humanity as a whole. And I would say, that was, again, from my parents. My father, my biological father, he was in my life as well. Him and my mother, they just divorced when I was really young, and then she remarried. But my father was always there, still is. And he showed me a lot. He took me to food shelves, to shelters. Oh. I hung out with the homeless. And so I was able to really appreciate, again, all walks of life. And
were there
and that
some
was
other
experience.
Words that described your dad, your biological dad?
Yeah, I think I put that in here. So he was free-spirited. So very different from my stepfather. So I got to kind of see two different sides. So my dad was just not confined by space or time. He traveled all over the country.
What was his work?
So he's an author.
Okay.
And so he wrote two books, and he's also a minister as well.
Oh.
So he works a lot with the homeless. Right now he's in Atlanta, Georgia, doing a video recording of a film on homeless people, but then relating it to the Bible and today's society, how the Bible scriptures relate to us today.
What's the title of his two books?
Well, one I definitely remember, Rough Clay. That was a self-biography. And then his other book slips my mind, but it was around the African-American experience in the United States.
Mm. Have you read both of them?
No. I read The Rough Clay. Rough Clay, and I keep telling him to this day, I'm going to read your other book eventually. So I'll get to it.
Did you get to know him a little bit more after reading Rough Clay?
Yes, I did. My mom told me a lot of stories that, you know, aligned with that, but then there was stuff that I did not know about that he, you know, wrote about in his book. He lived a very interesting life and just did so many different things and really experienced a lot throughout his life. So.
So you've had two strong male role models.
Yes. Mm. Yep.
And were there words for your stepfather that also came to mind?
Yes, aside from militant. I would say, you know, again, that's stable. Just whenever I think of him, I always think of stability and structure and a provider. He was huge on being a provider. We never wanted for anything. We traveled all over. We got to experience a lot of different things that, you know, kids in my community at that time were not able or fortunate enough to experience. And so I really appreciate that he, you know, my mom didn't have to work if she didn't want to. And it came into play when she was in a very bad car accident when I was in high school and was unable to work for many years. And nothing changed in our household because of, you know, just the hard work and dedication of my stepfather. So.
Wow. And how many siblings do you have?
A lot. Well, you know, because I also have extended siblings, you know, through marriage. I think I counted total 11 siblings.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what used to be big families... past, through the combination, it turned out into a big family for
yourself. Exactly, yeah.
Yep. Okay. And how many of them siblings are you close with today?
I'm close with probably about maybe seven of them.
Okay.
Yeah, really close to. The other ones I keep in contact with through, like, Facebook or something. But,
yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Are all of them in town?
No, they're spread out California, Phoenix, Indiana, Illinois, Louisiana.
Okay.
So they're
You've
all
got
over,
lots
yeah.
of places to visit.
Yes, I do. Yep.
Yeah. So how would you describe your life work?
One thing that my parents taught me, you know, is to, you know, meet a need through whatever I do, try to meet someone's need.
Yeah.
And so whenever I'm thinking of a new venture or, you know, it's always about meeting a need. And I would say if I had to sum up my life's work, it's been, you know, really aspiring to meet needs.
Wow. That's great. That's the best training you could get for entrepreneurship.
Yes.
Because that means looking for an opportunity.
Exactly.
Right?
Yep,
you're trying to spot an opportunity to help people.
That's right.
And then you see how big the need is from there.
Yep, exactly.
Wow. Okay. So if you described kind of your life accomplishments and we broke it down into different age sections.
Right, yes. And I try to, like, I'm trying to remember what these different ages now. But I don't know.
Well, you also have done a lot.
Yes.
So it's hard to, like, pinpoint a few.
Yeah, so I will try to get this right. So
what ages are you thinking of just before?
Well, I went even far back to high school because that's when I started my first business.
Yes, excellent.
Yeah, so I went as far back to that. And I did so much in the community when I was in high school. I was a congressional leader at my church, really trying to teach young people about Congress politics. I worked for the Minneapolis Urban League for 4 years, so from middle school all the way through high school, working with youth in the community. And so I would say, you know, that's when I really started doing a lot of the work that continued on in my life. Then, you know, in college, well, once I graduated from college, we're looking at 22 to 27, I would say that, you know, I really became more corporate, you know, worked for Cargill, worked for United Health Group. But even within that, I always made sure that I connected to the volunteerism at these corporations, which they did a lot of work in the community. And I got to participate in a lot of activities. I remember building a home with Habitat for Humanity through United Health Group.
Oh, yeah.
And that was a wonderful experience. I was a part of a number of affinity groups at these corporations. And so I still, again, was trying to meet a need, even through working in corporate America.
Yeah.
And then from there, when I was laid off from United Health Group after being there for 6 years, I started a business, another business. And again, trying to meet a need. I have a passion for youth, for children. I've worked with children pretty much since I was 12 years old. And I worked in daycare centers, and I was a volunteer for the St. Paul and Minneapolis Public School District. And so when I started thinking about a business, my business partner, I think she had a dream about this business. And when she came to me about it, I was just all over it. She wanted to open a drop-in center for children at the Mall of America specifically. And I was just like, that's amazing. I think that is a great business idea. And so we ventured on that together, and we were able to open it up in the Mall of America. And the reason for it, again, we did our research and saw the need. You know, parents who were having a hard time with being able to shop while they were with their children. And it was very unsafe for the children because if parents became distracted just for 1 second, their kids would get lost. And Mall of America had a lot of those incidents happen. And we had, you know, the most recent one where a child was unfortunately thrown over the third floor balcony of the Mall of America. And, you know, just really seeing just the importance of being able to have somewhere safe for children in the mall. And so we opened that business up, and it was a wonderful experience. Parents definitely loved it and praised us for it. It was we had a short-term contract because we were really just testing out the idea, and it wasn't something that was proven. You don't know of too many centers in the mall for children. And so it was a short-term contract. So once the contract was up, Mita asked me to come and work for them as a program manager and helping out other entrepreneurs, because that's how I came to know Mita, was actually through them helping me get into the Mall of America.
Oh.
So that was kind of through my 20s into my 30s. And then, you know, currently I am a real estate investor, just kind of getting into that game because that's what I grew up. My parents were real estate investors. And so kind of going back to my roots.
Yeah. And you're definitely in the gig economy, right?
Yes.
You know, multiple
yes.
different industries that you're involved in.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yep. And so I still have a business that I started up in 2009, which is called EPE LLC, Entertainment Promotion Enterprise. I manage youth. My kids, I manage their talent, their actors and models, and then I manage some other children. And again, just my passion and love for the youth and being able to get them involved at an early age and just developing their talents and their career and profession. And so they're entrepreneurs as well at such a young age.
Yeah.
I'm married, newly married, actually, in February. And
hence the Scott Jones change.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
So, yeah, just loving life right now. You know, I'm really excited about real estate investing, loving what I do here at Mita.
What kind of investing are you doing? Like, are you buying? What kind of complexes are you buying? Or?
So I mostly was doing wholesaling, which that can mean a lot of different things. But
yeah, what does that mean?
So the part that I was doing was identifying distressed owners.
Okay.
And trying to, help them find a solution to their problem.
Oh.
Whether that be, you know, finding them someone who can take over their property, or, you know, just giving them resources to help them with, you know, figuring out what they want to do with their property. So that was kind of the role that I played. And now I'm moving away from that type of work. And still, it's very similar, but now I'm acquiring the properties for myself. And so I'm working on, and then also wanting to do some developments, so new construction developments and rehabs as well. So that's what I'm moving into. So
okay. Because?
Well, there's so many different facets within the real estate industry.
Yeah.
I didn't want to just stay stuck on one. I wanted to kind of touch a lot of different areas.
Yeah.
I'm like that.
Yeah.
I like being versatile. And so just kind of, you know, and then I like trying out things and seeing what really suits me the best. And so I want to try some other areas and see if I like it better than the wholesaling. So
very good. Wow. All right. So I'll look forward to hearing more about that.
Okay, yes.
Are you rehabbing then too, the houses?
Is what I'm planning on doing. So what I'm trying to do, I'm working right now with the city of Minneapolis to actually, there's a lot of developing going on right over here in North Minneapolis where I grew up.
Yeah.
And trying to do some affordable housing and for people in this community so that they can stay and not have to be forced out as we're doing the development work. So that's kind of the area that I'm focusing in on right now.
Ah, yeah, there's definitely a need.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Gary Cunningham, who is soon to leave MITA.
He has already left.
He's already left.
Yes.
That station has gone.
It has gone,
okay.
Yes. Wonderful CEO. Enjoyed working under him.
Okay, yeah. So I listened to his interview with Chris Farrell on NPR last week.
Okay.
And I'll include that in the show notes because it's a, he talks about, you know, the minority entrepreneurs and how they've grown and how he's trying to bridge the disparities.
Yes.
And I mean, what he's moving on to is pretty, it's a more of a national spotlight on increasing the prosperity amongst all, well, teaching minority entrepreneurs of how to create wealth and keep wealth.
Right, exactly. Yep.
Yeah.
He's been doing this work all his career, so.
Wow. Okay. All right. So he was with MITA, as I understand, between 2014 and now.
Yeah. So, almost 6 years.
Okay. Part of one of the goals of MITA, and if you don't mind, let's switch a little bit over to the conversation about MITA.
No, that's great. Yeah.
Yeah. That MITA provides financing. They participate in loans. Their real goal is to educate.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So, the goal is really to, bridge that gap, the disparity gap. It's very large in Minnesota, puts us on the map as being kind of one of the worst states having, you know, kind of disparity gaps in education and entrepreneurship. And so he is definitely, MITA's been trying to bridge that gap.
And he was saying that last year, out of all the loans that they've provided and help minority entrepreneurs get, only under 1% defaulted.
Yes, and we are very proud of that.
Yeah.
Yep.
Absolutely. Well, that comes from understanding how money works.
Exactly.
And how money works in a business and how to bridge the cash flow gaps.
Exactly.
And how to pace your work.
Yeah.
You know, all those different things.
It does. I mean, you know, when we think about it, financial literacy is not taught in general education. You know, entrepreneurs, they learn this through experience, through their family, passing down businesses, through growing up in that environment. And you find a lot of entrepreneurs of color, they just don't have that experience and they don't have that lineage. So they're not learning it anywhere. And MITA offers that through its consulting, one-on-one consulting services, and then through the programs that I oversee, which are educational programs. and
the mini MBA.
The MEDA mini MBA, yep. Mm-hmm. And then the JA MEDA Fellows, we work with high school entrepreneurs because, again, this isn't being taught in high schools.
Yeah. So you're bringing back, you're being, circling back to the youth again.
Exactly, yeah. Yes, oh. Which I love.
Right. Well, and you've got a lot of educational background.
Yes, I believe strongly in education.
Yeah, so tell us a little bit, once you went through your 30s and kind of got now involved in MEDA, and you've been involved in real estate, how did your education kind of dovetail and lift up all the other pieces you've been doing in the world?
Yes, I mean, just the type of education. So, I mean, I was very, again, versatile even in my education. So my majors were very different from each other, but I made them relate because, again, I wanted to just be very well-rounded. And, you know, I believe in knowing a little about a lot. And so I like to really try to get to learn different subjects, at least know a little bit about them, mm-hmm. Enough to be able to, I guess, take it with me and be able to put it in my toolkit and pull it out when I need it. And so that's kind of how I used education. I knew that I wasn't going to just work for someone and that would solely be it. I always knew I was going to be an entrepreneur. I was going to be a leader and that I wanted to be able to affect change in society. And so I just use it as, again, pieces to my toolkit.
Excellent. Now, your business at the Mall of America, once you had the short-term contract, is that still there?
Nope. So our contract, again, because it was a short contract, it ended, which left us vulnerable to someone being able to come and take over the space. And we had very prime space at the Mall of America, 3,200 square feet.
Oh.
And so a larger business came and was able, and it was a proven model, and so they were able to do the long-term leasing.
Oh.
And so, yeah.
Okay. So did you end up on an okay note at the end there? You knew what
yes.
you, because you knew your lease was going to end?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we obviously were hoping that we would be able to kind of at least do a month to month and was hoping that no one would want our space, but, you know, that was high hopes.
Yeah.
And but it was just great to have the experience and to be able to do something like that. I mean, at the time when we first opened our doors, we were the only ones that actually had something that was outside of a kiosk, the only African-Americans within the owners in the Mall of America at the time. And then
really?
About a couple months later, another African-American came and opened up. So, I mean, that was a huge accomplishment just to be able to say that.
Yeah, you break down the doors.
Exactly.
Yeah,
yep.
You were the first.
Yep. At least at the time, you know, we were the only ones in the Mall of America. And hopefully that will change for the Mall of America.
Yeah, it needs to.
That'll become more diverse.
Well, that's part of the gap.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. The disparities between, mm-hmm. who gets to run businesses where.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad so many people are working on bridging that gap because it really needs to be bridged in our lifetime.
It does. I know. Yes. It does, especially looking at the, you know, changing demographics of the United States. It's something that you can't ignore it. It's not going to go away.
Yeah. Thank God.
So,
Yeah. Good. All right. Well, fantastic conversation. We have a little bit more to go through.
Okay.
Would you like to have another conversation?
Yes, I'm very excited about it.
Okay. Well, we're going to get into some more details. Like next week, we're going to talk about some biggest bookkeeping mistakes or hiring errors and how she turned things around, technology. Dominique is very big into technology. You use it really profoundly well.
I try.
Yeah, and so we'll be talking about some of that and what's happening next for you in your life. Excellent. Lovely way to end the show.
Thank you. Also,
right.
One other thing that I'm very excited about
before we end
is the MEDA Mini MBA program.
Oh, that's right.
I am actually in the process of recruiting for the program and just wanted to the listening audience let them know that we are accepting applications here at MEDA. You can visit MEDA.net. There is a tab for services, and you can look up the MEDA Mini MBA program, and we'll have an application.
I'll have the link in
website.
The show notes.
Perfect. Thank you. The minimum criteria for the program is we are looking for business owners of color So ethnic minorities who own at least 50% of the business, bringing in an annual revenue in between $250,000 to $10 million, must have one other full-time employee besides the owner, have been in business for at least 2 years and can show financial documentation supporting that, and a willingness and ability to attend class for 7 months, complete mandatory assignments, and complete program surveys as requested. So we are looking for those businesses that are ready to move their business to the next level, want to get out of isolation, work on their business, not just in it, and we're here to help.
Excellent. Yes, and at the end of the mini MBA program, so they're writing growth plans, and yes. Then they present to judges at the end.
Yes, they'll be presenting this week.
Great.
Yes.
And so I'm,
We also have an info session coming up, too.
And I'm one of the judges.
Yes. You are going to be a judge. That's right.
Yeah.
So okay. We also have an info session here at MITA. That will take place July 23rd from 6 to 7:30. Dinner will be served. It's a free event. And so, yes, please come out and learn more about the program. You'll hear from our instructor and our current participants as well as our alumni. And it'll be here at MITA, which is located at 1256 Penn Avenue North, Suite 4800 in Minneapolis.
Excellent. All right. Well, it's been a delight. Thank you so much
Thank you, Nancy.
Here and sharing everything. It's been such a fun conversation
as
well.
I've enjoyed it.
So I'll ask you back again and hear how all your real estate is going. Yeah, over the time frame.
Yes, thank you.
All right, and thanks everybody for tuning in, and thanks Mike Cabea, sound engineer, videographer, photographer, mon frère, brother from another mother. Yes. And when it's Monday, you know what we're doing. We're mentoring. So see you next week.